This is the time when we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. Those of it that are left, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm number 40. Psalm 40. I started to say chapter, but there's no chapters in Psalm. Today we're continuing in our series on what do you do when you don't know what to do. And we're looking at the writing of David as he pours his heart out before God, as he is a man who knows struggle, a man who knows hardship, a man who knows injustice, a man who knows the difficulty of following God when nobody wants you to. Again, remember the story of David. He was anointed as a small boy, as a teenager, to take the place of Saul as king of Israel. But yet he was not the king for a while. Saul was still on the throne, and Saul used David. Saul abused David. Saul hated David. Saul tried to kill David. Saul chased David throughout the wilderness, even though God had anointed him to be the king. Yet he was not experiencing what he expected to experience as the anointed king, as the one who was going to take over. So how do you deal with things when you just don't know what to do? You're trying to follow God, you're trying to honor God, but things aren't working out just like you thought they would do. And sometimes life just throws us a curve. Sometimes life is just life, and life at times is hard. God never said that it would be any easier for Christians. He did promise He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that we would never be alone in this journey of hardship, this journey of life. But He never said it would be easy. So there are times, even for believers, even for people that are faithfully trying to follow God, that you just come to circumstances, you come to events, you come to seasons in your life and hardships that you just don't know what to do. There, sometimes it's a choice between what's good and what's best. Sometimes it's not the choice between good and evil or right and wrong. Sometimes you're just at a fork in the road and you don't know what to do. And you're struggling. You need some direction for God because you want to experience what God has for you. And you just don't know what that is at this point. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Do you just choose and hope for the best? Do you just make a decision and, okay, God, now you just got to bless what I'm doing? Or do we do like David? We talked about last week. What's the first thing you do when you don't know what to do? Draw near to the Lord. Come close to God. Seek His presence. Rest in His presence. Confess that He is God and you're not. Confess that you are dependent upon Him. Confess that you're weak. Maybe you need to confess sin. Maybe you're at a place in your life that you've been allowing sin and it's taken you further than you expected to ever go, and it's costing you more than you ever wanted to pay, and you haven't really been trying to follow God, but you found yourself in a mess. What do you do now? How do I get out of this? How does anything good come out of the situation that I've created because of my bad choices? Again, you draw near to the Lord. You cry out to Him. You call out to Him. You confess your sin. You confess your dependence upon Him. You confess that He's the only one who can fix what the mess that you've made. Well, after you draw near to Him, after you confess to Him, what's the next thing you do? That's step one. There's got to be more. Well, I think we find that same truth, we find the next thing we do also in Psalm chapter 40, or Psalm 40. I don't know why I keep saying chapter. If you will stand with me as we begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read some, and then we'll come back and we'll look at what do you do when you don't know what to do. Verse 1 says, I waited patiently. Remember last week we said that, waited intently, diligently expected for the Lord. And He inclined to me, and He heard my cry, and He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and hear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offerings you do not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. And then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you today because you are able. Lord, we come to you today because of who you are. God, we come to you today to ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to the reality of your presence. God, the power of your presence, the hope of your presence, the joy of your presence, the wisdom of your presence. God, we declare, we confess, Lord, that you are God and you know everything. You are all powerful. You are all faithful. And so, God, we come to you today because we can, because of the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, the death he died on the cross to pay for our sins, the gift of grace that he extends to us if we will simply accept and submit our hearts and our lives to him, God, to live for your glory. God, it's because of what Jesus has done and because of your great love for us that we can come before you in dependence. We can come before you in hope. We can come before you knowing that you hear our cry, knowing that you're concerned about our troubles, and knowing that you want only the best for us. God, that our greatest purpose, our greatest joy is to glorify you even in the troubles of life. So God, many of us are facing things right now that we don't know what to do. We're facing decisions, we're facing difficulties, we're facing circumstances, God, that we're at a loss, Lord. We don't know how we're to respond. We don't know what the choices are that we need to make. God, we don't know how we need to react to things that have been done towards us or said about us. God, we don't know how we're supposed to honor you in the face of such evil and such difficulty. So God, today I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word. God, we would not only confess it, but God, we would live out the fact that we are dependent upon you. That you are a good, good Father. That you are our God. And that you are able to make all things work together for good for those that love you and are called according to your purpose. So God, we ask you to do your work in us today. God, equip us to do the work of glorifying your name in every situation of our life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, the first step is to draw near to God and confess that he is God and our dependence upon him. But the second thing that we have to do is to trust. And oftentimes, that's the hardest thing to do. We'll admit, hey, God is God. God is powerful. God is wise. God is present. God is God, and I'm not, and I'm at a loss, and I'm weak, and I'm dependent upon God. To declare our dependence is one thing. To admit our dependence is one thing. But then to walk out that dependence in trust, we call it faith oftentimes in Scripture, but to walk out that trust and that dependence is totally different than saying it. It's like my kids oftentimes would be heading into a situation or things would be going on, and I would remind them, hey, this is what you need to do. Be careful, and you know, and Dad, I got this. I got this. They acknowledged I was Dad. They acknowledged that I had some experience, but I got this. I know what I'm supposed to do. But then I would remind them, knowing and doing are two different things. My kids know everything. Especially as teenagers. They know everything. But doing it, doing what you know, that's the hard part. Adults, it's true for us too. We know what to do. We know God is God. We know God is faithful. We know that he exists. And we know that he loves us. But knowing and doing, two different things. So what does it mean to trust? What does it mean? when David says in verse 4, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. See, blessing doesn't come just by acknowledging that God is. Blessing doesn't come just by confessing that God is. Blessing isn't ours just because we know about God and know that God. The blessing comes, it says here, is how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. That his trust is not on the Lord, his trust is in the Lord. His trust is lived out. His faith in God is lived out. If we're going to trust God, what does it look like? There are several passages. There's all kinds of passages in Scripture, but there's some that I want us to remember and some that I want us to kind of focus on today as we begin to look at what it means to trust the Lord. Look how it says, how he describes what it means to trust the Lord. He says, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Now, oftentimes when we get in trouble, we start seeking advice. We start looking for people to help us know what we should do when we don't know what to do. We like to have somebody that we can go to and ask and go to and see. But oftentimes the problem is we go to people that are going to tell us what we want to hear. Go to people that will agree with what I'm thinking. That will go to people that won't challenge us. We'll go to people that won't put up a defense against what we're doing, that won't say, hey, you might be headed in the wrong direction. You may want to think about it like this. We often seek out people that think like us. We know are going to tell us what we want to hear or just seem to have everything figured out. He says, blessed is the one who's made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud. Hey, I've got this figured out. I know exactly what you need to do. Man, yeah, this is exactly what you need to do. This person that has a haughty spirit, that man, I can't believe you got in this mess, but I'll tell you how to fix it. But then also that he has not turned to those who lapse into falsehood. Now we might avoid the proud. You know all those folks that got an opinion on everything? That is an expert on whatever the subject is that you bring up? Now, we don't have a problem avoiding those. But he says he qualifies it with not only the proud, those who know everything, those who may seem to have it all together, those who have seemed to be successful and are self-reliant. We tend to want to look after those folks. How did you make your decisions? How did you make your millions? How did you make your business so successful? How did you figure this out? How did you do this? Because you've got it all together. Your family's doing great. Your business is doing great. Your life is doing great. How did you do this? Oh, I figured it all out. This, if you'll just do these 12 easy steps or 5 easy steps, guaranteed you'll. Don't turn to the proud. But he also says don't turn to those who lapse into falsehood. Now, who is that? All of us. We all lapse. That word lapse means that makes mistakes. Not that they're conscious about lying. They're not going to lie to you on purpose, but they're frail. They don't have all the knowledge. They don't have all the wisdom. They're not perfect, and they're not going to always give perfect advice. He says, look, don't turn to people that lapse into falsehood. Don't go to people that's going to give you their best opinion. Don't just go to people that's going to give you what they think. And don't go to people that are going to give you advice, but yet may work out or may not work out. He said, look, don't look to people for your wisdom. Don't look to people for your trust. Don't make people the ones that are your trust. Just put your trust in the Lord. Now, how can you be a person that people can turn to? Now, we always like to have people to ask advice. God tells us that we need to seek wise counsel. But what determines wise counsel? You need to go to somebody that's going to point you back to the Lord. Wise counsel is one who gives you scripture for what you need to do. He says, the one who has put his trust in the Lord. Don't turn to people that are proud. Don't turn to those who are lapsed into falsehood, may give you some bad advice unintentionally. He said, turn to the Lord. And sometimes we need to turn to people who turn us back to the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Because the Lord is the only one who doesn't make mistakes. The Lord is the only one who is always right. And if we have waited on the Lord, if we have confessed in the Lord, if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and placed God as the one who is over our life, then He is the one we need to turn to in our times of trouble. Here are three passages that I want you to ponder over. I want you to write down. We're going to talk just very briefly about them, but these are things you need to dig into and ask God to really open up your heart and your mind about what it's saying. To trust the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Now, these are passages that you know, but sometimes we just need to be reminded about trusting in God. Why is it that we need to trust God? Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Well, that's exactly what David just said. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Blessed is the one who has made the Lord his trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your frail intellect. But how do you trust in the Lord with all of your heart? How do you lean on His understanding and not on your own? He tells us in the next phrases. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. Now, what does it mean to acknowledge God? Does that mean just give Him a head nod? Yeah, God, you're right. Yeah, I think you're pretty good advice. What does it mean to acknowledge God? It means in all of your ways, submit yourself to God's Word. In all of your ways, do what God instructs. In all of your ways, be obedient. See, if we're going to trust God, if we're going to make God our trust, then we've got to choose, we've got to determine to be obedient to His Word. If God is God, if God cannot lie, if God cannot make mistakes, if God cannot give bad advice, if there is no lapsing into falsehood with Him, there is no way He can make a mistake, there is no way He can tell you something that is not the right thing to do, if that is true, then we need to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. We need to submit ourselves to His Word. We need to live His Word out in every aspect of our life. And when we do that, the promise is He'll make our path straight. In other words, He will give us the right thing to do at the right time to do it. If we'll acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He says He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Be obedient. If we're gonna trust God, then we've got to acknowledge He is God. I'm dependent upon Him. And then begin to submit our life to His Word. And to walk out our obedience, walk out our faith, walk out our salvation as we live in obedience to God's Word. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You practice what you already know. Okay, I've got a decision to make. It's a fork in the road. Maybe it's a career decision. Maybe it's a relationship decision. Maybe it's a financial decision. I don't care what it is. Maybe it's a hardship, a struggle, a problem that's come up by no cause of my own, or even it is because of a sin or a bad decision I made previously. What do I do now? Well, first of all, if I don't know what to do, I begin to focus on doing the things that I already know. If you know God's Word, if you know that that God doesn't approve of certain relationships. He says, don't be unequally yoked. Well, the first thing to do, my first question is, okay, this relationship, I'm coming into this relationship and it's starting to get serious and I'm beginning to like this person a lot more and more. Maybe I'm trying, they may just be a friend. Maybe I'm thinking about maybe marrying them or moving forward in a relationship. Well, I don't know what to do. Is this the one that God wants for me? Well, the first thing you do is you go to do what you know. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. The first question is, are they saved? If they're not saved, then the response is, no, I don't pursue this relationship. I can be friends with them, I can be acquaintances with them, but I can't marry them. I can't let them be my best friend. I can be as close a friend as I can, but they cannot speak into my life. They can't influence where I go and what I do. All right? I don't know what to do, but don't be unequally yoked. So that influence, I stick to what I know. If it's somebody that has hurt me, somebody that has done something to me, somebody, how do I deal with this situation? I don't know how to respond. I don't know how to react to what's happened. Well, I know that the Bible says I'm supposed to forgive. Okay, I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to forgive. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in patience. I'm going to walk in encouragement. I'm going to do what I know the Bible says I'm supposed to be doing. So to trust God doesn't mean I always know what I'm supposed to do about this particular decision. But in this circumstance, I know there are some things that God has already taught me, God has already showed me, God has already demonstrated it to be truth in my life. I'm going to do those things till I know exactly what to do. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He'll make your path straight. Draw near to Him, and as you draw near to Him, He'll remind you of the things that you already know and start make sure you're doing those things. Then in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. So to trust God means I'm going to acknowledge Him in all of my ways. I'm going to do what the Bible says do. I'm going to do what I already know I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to make sure I'm being faithful to God in every way that I can. And He will direct my path. But the second thing we need to understand is to trust God means that He will not always do things like I think they need to be done. All right? Why do I say that? If I trust God, I'm not asking Him to do it like I want it done. I want Him to do things. I want Him to work things out that will glorify Him, that will demonstrate His wisdom, His presence, and His power. So the second thing we need to understand is that God doesn't always do things like we think they should be done. And if I trust Him, I know that it's always going to be right. Look at what He says, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Oftentimes when we don't know what to do, we come to God and we start giving Him a list of things. God, if you'll just do this, okay, this is what I need to happen. This is what I need to see. This is what needs to go on. We start telling God how He needs to work things out for us. God, you need to make them like me more. You need to make them treat me better. You need to make them... We start telling God how we think this thing should be played out and what the end result should be. Well, if we trust God, then we've got to trust that He is going to work things out for His glory and for my good. Now, my good is not always my comfort. My good is not always what I think it should be. I've told you this before, and I go back to it all the time. Man, when I was in high school, I was dating a girl. And I was in love. I was absolutely certain she was the one. I was absolutely certain that she and I were going to get married. I was absolutely certain there was no other woman in the world for me, that she was made by God just for me. And man, she didn't agree. And we broke up, and I was absolutely devastated. I'm just going to be honest. My world was rocked, turned upside down. I didn't know how I was going to face the rest of my life without her. And along came Randa. And ever since then, I've been thanking God he didn't work things out like I wanted him to. Fine lady. She's married, got a beautiful family. But I'm so thankful that God didn't listen to me and do it like I wanted it done. At the time, I thought it was what needed to be done. At the time, I thought it was what was right. And at the time, I was praying consistently, God, make this work out like I want it to. God, make it come out to this particular... No, God had a better thing for me. He had a better woman for me. He had a better life for me. He had a better marriage for me. So if we trust God, to trust God is to understand that His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Not only are they better than ours, but as high as the heavens are above the earth. Now, this word heavens here, in the Jewish thought process, there were three layers or three sections of heaven. There was the heaven that is the atmosphere around the earth where we live and breathe and birds fly. That's the heavens. Then the second heaven is where the planets and the stars are out in space, what we would call it. The third heaven is the place where God dwells, high above, outside of time and space. And here Isaiah says, as high as the heavens are, not just the place where the birds, not just where the clouds are. That's pretty high. Not just as far as the planets and space is, billions and billions of miles above us, but as high as God is above the earth, as far as God is above time and space, the one who sees the end from the beginning, who knows everything before it ever happens. He has seen the whole existence of the world, the whole existence of time. He has seen it, planned it out, knows it, been there, done that already, because he's outside of time and space. As high as that is above this little spot in the universe called Earth, so are his thoughts above our thoughts. I mean, think about it. It would take millions of light years. And because the universe is continually expanding, we still couldn't get there. We don't know how long it'd take to get to the edge of what we call space. Millions, billions of light years. As far as that is above the earth, that's how much higher God's thoughts are than our thoughts. His ways than our ways. So if we're gonna trust God, we've got to trust Him with the outcome. We're going to live in obedience. We're going to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. We're going to do what and submit ourselves, and we're going to walk in this trouble. We're going to walk in this indecision. We're going to walk in this circumstance in a way that honors God and acknowledges all that He's taught us already. And then we're going to trust Him to work it out for His glory and our good. That's hard. Now, why is that so important? Because if we say, okay, God, if you're going to work this out, if you're God, then I want you to work it out like this. And when God knows better, and He's not working things out like we think they should, and the end result is not what we had planned on and not what we had determined should be, when we're going to a different direction, and God, we want to be over here, but God takes us over here, then we start thinking, well, God, you must not care. God, you must not be able to work things out. To trust God is to trust Him with the results, to trust Him with the outcome, to trust Him with where your life is going. He said, look, acknowledge me in all of your ways and I will make your path straight. Doesn't mean it's going to go straight to where you want it to go. But you're trusting Him for the results. You're trusting Him for the destination. You're trusting Him for what He wants in your life, not what you want. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. To make Him your trust, first of all, you have to acknowledge Him in all of your ways. The second thing is you need to trust Him for the outcome. And then the third, Psalm 33, 17 through 19. Psalm 33, 17 through 19. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Again, you've got to think about context and the time that this was written. If you had an army, if you had a cavalry in an army, if you had soldiers on horseback, man, those were the Apache helicopters of the day. They were the tanks of the day. If you had a cavalry, if you had men on horses or horses pulling chariots where they could speed to the flanks, they could rush through and they couldn't get a good aim with their spear, it set you so far ahead in the battle. It gave you such a tactical advantage that every king wanted horses in their army. And they'd spend all that they could to get horses in their army, because if they could get horses in their army and chariots, then that gave them such an advantage over the rest of them. Or it would either equalize them with the problem or the kingdom that was coming against them, the army that was coming against them. But if you didn't have horses and the other army had horses and chariots, you started trying to figure out the best way you could to make peace, because you knew you were about to get your tail whipped. So you started making peace. You started making compromise because they had horses and we don't. Or if you had horses and they didn't, you got overconfident. And so David is saying, look, a horse is a false sense of security. It's not the horse, it's not the technology you have, it's not the advantage or the stuff that you have that brings the victory. It's the Lord. Horse is a false sense or hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone from strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. See, if we're going to trust God, we've got to trust that God sees, God knows, and God can. They're one of the biggest struggles, one of the first things that happens when life throws us a curve, when we hear the term cancer, when our spouse starts talking about divorce, when life just gets hard and our finances are a mess and we're trying to do the best we can, it seems the harder we try, the worse it gets. The first thing we start thinking, God, don't you care? God, where are you? God, why is this happening? God, don't you love me anymore? See, the first thing that happens when life doesn't go the way we think it should go and life gets hard, we start thinking, God, where are you? And see, there are times in our life where we're all going to come to that. I've been there. I mean, even after I surrendered to the ministry and it was in the and been in the pastorate, there are times when I said, God, where are you? God, don't you see what's going on? God, don't you hear what they're saying? God, when are you going to fix it? God, why are you taking so long? God, why? God, how? Hello? Are you there? Can you relate? Can you relate? See, if we're going to trust God, then we've got to not only trust that He can, not only trust that He will, but trust in His timing. See, the hardest thing to do is to trust that God knows what to do and when to do it. I'm just going to tell you, my favorite time for God to do something, now. Now. God, I need it, and I need it now. Kind of like that old loan or that commercial that's on. It's my money, and I need it now. God, it's my blessing and I need it now. God, it's my life and I need it now. God, it's my hope, my joy and I need it now. But if we're going to trust God, we've got to trust that He sees, and that He knows, that He can, but trust He'll do it all at the right time. And the hardest thing for us to do is to say, God, I trust Your timing. God, I know You hear me. God, I'm going to keep crying out. God, I'm going to keep being faithful. I'm going to keep doing what I know to do. I'm going to keep trying to honor You in the midst of this circumstance. I'm going to keep acknowledging You in all my ways. God, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to trust you to do the right thing at the right time so that you'll be glorified and my faith will grow. See, if we're going to trust God, if we're going to make Him our trust, then we've got to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. We've got to do what we already know we're supposed to do when we don't know what to do about this circumstance. We've got to understand that His thoughts and His ways are not our ways, but His thoughts and His ways are always right. And so we're gonna walk in that truth. We're gonna trust that He is always gonna work things out for His glory and our good. And if we're gonna make Him our trust, we've gotta trust His timing. And I may have to go through this for a while. I may have to acknowledge Him for a long time before He ever does what He's gonna do. I don't know what it's gonna look like. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I'm going to follow faithfully. I'm going to glorify Him. I'm going to trust Him as long as it takes. See, that's what David was saying. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. Verse 6 says, sacrifice and meal offerings you've not desired. It's not about going to church. It's not about making a checklist. It says, my ears you have opened. I'm listening for you. I'm listening to obey. I'm going to keep doing what I know you want me to do. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you've not required, but obedience, trusting you. Then verse 8, I delight to do your will, oh my God, your law is within my heart. He trusted God. He acknowledged Him in all of His ways. He trusted God's thoughts towards him, His plans for him, and then he trusted God's timing. I'm going to be obedient. And when we do that, we'll see God works in our life. God works in our situation. God can be glorified. May not turn out like we thought it should, but we'll look back and be able to say, thank you, God, for working it out like you knew it should be rather than just what I wanted it to be. Now, again, I want to remind you, to trust the Lord begins with acknowledging who He is and who you are. So you can't trust God with the circumstances of your life until you trust God with your life. Jesus came and died so that our sins could be forgiven. He died a substitutionary death so that we could be adopted as sons and daughters of God. But you cannot be a son and daughter of God. You cannot be the beneficiary of His power and His grace until you give Him your life. Submit your heart to Him. See, you can't obey God's word without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. So the first step in trusting God with the circumstances of your life is to trust Him with the eternity of your life and all of your life. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, trusts in Him, will have eternal life. But you got to trust Him. You got to submit your whole life to Him. And then trust Him as you walk in obedience. Trust Him as you live out your faith. Trust Him with His timing. And then when you come to the difficult things of life, you can trust Him even then. It starts with submitting your life. It happens by continually submitting your life. Christian, if you're here and you know you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and maybe you're going through some struggles, maybe your relationships, maybe you're trying to make a decision, maybe you're trying to overcome some bad decisions that you made, and you see that where you've headed or where you are is not where you need to be, and how do I get back on track? How can God make something good out of the mess I've made? How can God bring beauty from these ashes? Trust Him. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Start doing what you already know to do. Live in obedience. Understand that His ways are not your ways. He's going to lead you to do some things that don't make any sense, but they're right. And then trust His timing. Trust Him for the long haul. Trust Him for the outcome. Just glorify Him the best you can, right where you are. Trust that He's going to do what He can do. Let's stand. We're going to pray. We're going to have a song. A time of commitment, a time of reflection, a time of just meeting with God and responding to what He has been saying in your heart and in your circumstances. Maybe you need to submit your life to Him for the first time. Maybe you need to resubmit your life to Him and start living in obedience, doing what you know and trusting Him. Whatever it is, you do it. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You so much for Your great love. I thank You for Your presence and the availability of Your presence in our lives. God, You are sitting on the edge of Your seat, God, wanting to extend salvation to all who will call upon Your name. Your word says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no one who is too far gone, no one who is out of Your reach for grace and forgiveness. So God, if there's someone here today that needs to cry out to You, needs to trust You with their life for the first time, God, I pray today would be the day of salvation. God, for the most of us, I know that are here, God, they already have submitted their life to You. They've trusted You with their salvation, but God, maybe they need to trust You a little bit more today with the circumstances. God, I pray that You would give us the grace that we need to trust You. God, open our hearts and our minds to the truth of Your word and Your promises and Your faithfulness. And God, help us to just honor You, honor You, honor You every moment of every day, every circumstance that comes up, and trust You to work it out for Your glory and our good. Thank You for loving us so much. Thank You for being a good, good Father and wanting us to experience life to the full. So may You do what only You can do in our hearts and our minds, our lives and our circumstances as we submit to You today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to come down and let me know if God is...